Hey, what's up, everyone? I'm your host, Sean T. Welcome to Trust and Believe. Today, you are going to go on a breathing journey. I am interviewing Niraj Naik. He was a pharmacist at the age of 24. And from his experience in the pharmaceutical industry, he decided to change his own life through his own struggles. You're about to hear an inspiring story and lots of education on how you can truly enhance your life through sleep, through meditation, and mostly through just following your own soul. Get ready to trust and believe.
Somebody say, oh yeah!
What's up?
He's better than Oprah. Come on, y'all.
This is Sean T, and it's time to trust and believe.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out of pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Our listeners love a story that helps them trust and believe in who they are.
Yes.
This year specifically. For me, you know, the charge for me is, for myself personally, is about always forward. Just figuring out how in life you can move, always move forward and just be steadfast and abundantly, you know, controlling in your own thoughts and how you want to move, push forward. And I also have told a lot of my fit fam out there that for them, this year is about taking control of their fitness, because a lot of times we leave our results in the hand of a trainer or in the hand of a motivator, but I'm sure, as you know, at the end of the day, you have to be the one to take control over your life and
yes,
really be able to push forward. I mean, you have to 100%. Be in control. And so I just want you to take me to a point in your life where you had to take control. You said to yourself, no one can do this for me. No matter how much motivation or maybe support I have on the outside, this is about me, and this is about me, you know, controlling my own destiny. What was that point in your life?
Wow, that's a fantastic question. I have actually got a very compelling story to share just about that. So actually, I was a community pharmacist years ago working in the UK, and it wasn't really my passion. It wasn't something I really wanted to do. In fact, I'm a music producer. I'm a DJ. I used to run raves and things like that. And I lost that first business that I had and ended up going back to finish my degree, and then went and became a community pharmacist purely because I had to pay the bills. But it was probably the best thing that ever happened to me, that crash and burn from that old lifestyle, which was very hedonistic and wild and crazy. But to become a pharmacist was what it actually meant, was become very disciplined. And it made me also see what the healthcare system is like firsthand. So it gave me a deep insight. And every day I would see, you know, sick people coming into a pharmacy, literally going away with shopping bags full of drugs every single, you know, day. And I was shocked. I was like, is this really healthcare? You know, like, I don't see people getting well. You know, so the odd person would be, you know, better, but most people on chronic conditions on chronic medications were not taking less medications, they were taking more. So it just didn't make sense to me, the entire system. And I'm a spiritually minded person. I did the music events because it was like going to church, right? You know, all these people celebrating in a room, celebrating life together. But I felt a spiritual void in a pharmacy. It's very cold, very clinical. And you're literally like in a factory dishing out pills like a machine. So it didn't work very well for me. It didn't last very long in terms of my enthusiasm for the career. And I ended up actually getting very depressed myself. And I had a big breakdown. And I ended up actually getting dragged to a Tony Robbins event, of all things. And actually, I didn't know anything about personal development, self-help, or anything like that. And actually, in England, it wasn't really a cool thing to be involved with. But I got literally dragged to this event, and it was the best thing that happened. Like, it totally shifted my mindset. The last day was the first time I ever heard anyone discuss lifestyle and how it can actually prevent disease. You don't get taught any of that in pharmacy. So I was like, right, well, I have a pharmacy full of sick people. If this stuff works, I'm going to prove Tony Robbins right or wrong in the pharmacy. And I did an experiment, and I started to change people's diets just by, I had like 5 minutes with the patient. I'd come up with an analogy, like a car. You have a car, right? If you put the wrong fuel into the car, what happens? And, you know, they'd describe it, and I'd be like, well, that's what you've been doing. You know, you've been putting the wrong fuel into your super efficient bio engine for too long, and now you need to get the right fuel. So, and if you don't, you end up going to the mechanic, which is your doctor, to get your body fixed. And they really, a lot of people resonated with that, because so many people have issues with their cars. So the people who took action on my advice dramatically shifted their health within weeks. And I actually started getting phone calls from doctors. At first I was like, oh my God, I'm in trouble. But they were like, wow, what are you doing? This is magic. Keep doing it. Keep going, keep going. So that gave me a lot of encouragement. And I actually got fired from my first job. Anyway, I ended up getting promoted to one of the biggest corporations in the UK to carry out a project. I came up with an idea to deliver healthy shopping lists through their website. And they loved it. And they had a grocery and a pharmacy in one. But 6 months into it, I don't know if you ever worked in a big corporation in the head office, but it's a rat race, man. It's cutthroat. Managers don't want you to rise above them. And I was the teacher's pet, you know. So I kind of got a little bit bullied, and then eventually the idea never came to fruition. And I got so disillusioned with humanity at that point. And I had literally a loss of faith in spirit, in God, you know, whatever you want to call it. And that was when I had a zap, boom, a lightning bolt of an illness that made me housebound for almost a year, called ulcerative colitis. I was literally going to the toilet 40 times a day, you know, shitting blood. It was horrific. It was horrible. And the doctor, the consultant, basically said, there's no cure for this. You're giving me your medication for the rest of your life. Shut up, take the pills. So I was like, right, this is it. I'm just going to give up, you know. And I was at this very desperate moment because I lost faith in humanity. I didn't know who to trust, you know. I really didn't. There was all this doom and gloom on the internet. Go onto Google, and all you get is like forums full of sick people complaining about what they've got. Very little actual awareness of real plan to get healthy from this illness that I had. So they say God stands for gift of desperation, right? And literally, I was so desperate, and I prayed, and by stroke of absolute fate, somebody came to my rescue. Swami Amikananda, she's a yoga teacher in the UK. She said to me, look, you've got an amazing gift here. If you can heal yourself without the medications, you'll be an amazing role model to other people, especially with your passion to help people and your scientific knowledge. So I was willing to just surrender to her advice. And I was like, okay, I'll give anything a go at this moment. And she taught me the foundations of pranayama, yoga, meditation, Ayurveda. And that put me on to a rabbit hole of learning as much as I could from about this stuff. Because the first things I tried, like simple breathing techniques, were so dramatically powerful. So that led me to also discover like supplements like colostrum, which is an amazing miracle healing substance, which literally just heals leaky gut very, very quickly. has wealth of science behind it. I've since helped so many people with this one superfood, which is just a miracle for so many people. And within a few months, I was back to full health. And I remember one day, like I started a business, which was music therapy, because I went back to my passion for music. And the music combined with breathing is a very powerful way, very effective way to change your state and get into these therapeutic healing states. And that led me to, I actually read a book called The 4-Hour Workweek, actually, and at that time. And I was like, wow, this is it. I'm never going back to my job again. I'm doing this. So I didn't want to be a pharmacist. I knew that working in a cage like that was just not who I am. And having this new world open to me, this new world of the internet and location independent business, and, you know, where you could turn your passion into a business that can really help people. And eventually I created a big following through this therapeutic music. And then I created a website called The Renegade Pharmacist, which was to share all of this knowledge, because so many people ask me, what did you do? But there was this one moment where I just knew, like, to trust in faith, right? Mm. Which was, this guy calls me up from Langkawi in Malaysia, and he says, I love your name. At the time, I called my music, my production name was Amaya. And he said, I want to call my spa after you. He was creating a spa, a wellness spa there, like a high-end one. And I'd love to play, like, license your music for it. And I said, look, sure, I didn't know anything about licensing, and it was just a small spa in Langkawi. I was like, look, just whatever. You can just have the music, do it. But just let me have free holidays, all right?
Yeah.
To your place. And he was like, sure, done. So we did a little deal, and it seemed unbelievable at the time. It was like, what? Why would anyone? So weird. The law of attraction works, trust me.
Mm.
But if you do it right and you have action, the action in law of attraction is the important thing. So I ended up going to Langkawi, my first holiday. Had been housebound for over a year. Didn't see anybody. And then I just worked on myself, and boom, end up going to Langkawi. And I had this 3-hour massage with my music playing in this state-of-the-art spa overlooking the ocean. I was like, this is, God exists. There's no doubt in my mind. There's a higher force looking down on us. Even though sometimes it doesn't seem that way, I really believe that there's faith, to have faith in humanity and spirit. I've had too many of these things in my life, you know, like, especially in the last 10 years since I've been on this path, too many signs and symbols of there is a positive spiritual force out there, but you have to believe in it, and you have to focus on it, and you have to take the right action, you have to choose to spot the clues that are out there and focus on them and use them as a guide, but constantly take consistent action towards a positive goal that's for the betterment of mankind. If you do that formula, people get successful. So many incredible things have happened, like, as a result of just believing and trusting, you know, and having a good strategy. Yeah.
I love that. You know, believing and trusting, that's my way of life. First, I want to say congratulations for trusting, believing, and being consistent. And like you said, the law of attraction is about taking action. I believe that when The Secret came out, people thought they could have a vision board, and then it they would have this body, they would have this house, they would have this car. And then so many people started to become a life coach. And, you know, I just believe that the action part wasn't emphasized enough for people to understand that they had to be consistent. So I just want to say congratulations and thank you for saying that, because I just think that's such an important part of people's success, especially in the new year, and people have these resolutions and these new goals.
Mm.
And, I just want to say, you know, thank you for sharing and congratulations. But
thank you.
I do want to go back, especially to the pharmacy thing, because I remember from being a young kid, I would walk into the pharmacy and I would see the white coats and I was like, wow, these people are so smart, which they are. I mean, you know, educationally so smart. And then as I started to get older and you start to learn a little bit more about just the foundation of taking care of yourself, for me, it was just, it started out with just moving as you got older and doing yoga and being able to be more balanced. And then it goes into the mind, and then nutrition, it became this thing where people were taking medicines, and I saw people stop taking medicine and just start moving, and they would be better. But there are a lot of people out there right now that go into the pharmacy and they go every month or whenever they do their prescription refills, and they would say to you, there's no way. Like, you're a pharmacist. You studied this. You know these drugs work. Like, why should I trust this method of, you know, some people may call it holistic, or just the method of believing? And what would you say to that person?
Great, great question. I'm so glad you asked that. Well, here's the thing. I'm not, like, before anyone wants to try and take anything I've said in this conversation out of context, if this goes live and they take a little snippet of what I say, I'm not, for the record, knocking pharmacy, doctors, or any of the conventional healthcare. I'm not. That's what that is designed for, is for the mass market. It's for the general population. Okay. What I'm interested in is actually going towards optimum health. Okay. Which, unfortunately, medications cannot serve properly because they're not intelligent enough yet. I'm not saying that they won't. Maybe they'll evolve to be so incredible that we'll have these nanotechnologies that can just transform our health, you know, instantly, and or machines or whatever. There may be. At the moment, we're way off that. You know, it's like, it's not even as good as the internet in 1998, you know, in terms of how good it is for your health, looking after your health, because the results don't show that. You just have to look at medical errors are some of the, it's in the, like, the top five of top deaths in the world, you know, causes of death in the world, medical errors. And that's caused by overprescribing or the wrong drug or wrong treatment being given. So, you know, it can cause a lot of harm. It can do a lot of good. If used in the right way, it can save somebody's life. A drug can save somebody's life in an emergency. And we need to go back to Hippocrates, who said, first, do no harm. Every doctor has to swear by this. So really, we should, and this actually is going on in the UK, where there's a lot more emphasis now on complementary care from holistic. Even Reiki is being used in the NHS in certain places. We try everything you possibly can before you resort to the emergency treatments, right? Which are those medications and surgeries. And what you want to do is, if there is a serious emergency, say you get massive anaphylactic shock or something, right? If you have adrenaline injection, which is a medication, it's the pharmaceutical industry created it, it can save your life immediately, right? So there is a lot of good that can be solved by pharmaceutical industry. But it's, where the problem comes in is when it turns into a business for profit. And actually, another thing that Hippocrates said was, never make profit in the sick room. If you just look at that one statement, almost all of the problems in the world, I would say very strongly, have been caused now from the ability to make obscene profits out of sick people. Okay, because it's led to the most powerful industries in the world having so much monopoly and power. It's unbelievable. And that doesn't look like it's changing at all at the moment. And things like that. So, you know, Hippocrates has been ignored. When doctors are meant to swear by it, the oath, the Hippocratic oath. And here's the other thing. So if you were to look at blood pressure, for example, we're told the average blood pressure is 120 over 80, right?
Right.
That's what we're told. This is where they get that number from. If you were to take the population's blood pressure, okay, you'll find it's actually like a bell-shaped curve, okay, where you get an average in the middle of 120 over 80. The problem with that is if you go into the doctor for a reading, You've got a bunch of people whose average normal blood pressure is actually higher or lower than 120 over 80. Guess what Gandhi's blood pressure was his whole life, most of his life?
I want to guess. I would say lower.
Okay, everyone makes this mistake. It was actually 200 over 100. So don't worry, 200 over 100. So he had extremely high blood pressure most of his life. And he actually didn't want to, the doctors were freaking out. He didn't want to take any of that, their treatment, because he didn't think there was anything wrong with him. And actually, there's a simple checklist in Ayurveda, okay, for whether you're actually healthy. And that is, do you eat well, sleep well, shit well, piss well, well, right? Are you happy? And do you not hate anybody, right? Then you are well. If you don't hold grudges as well, then you're well. Yeah. And that's the Ayurvedic checklist. People freak out too much about their metrics all the time. Mm. Gandhi, when they did the post-mortem on his body, he was perfect. He had no issues of hypertension. So what did he die of? He died because of a bullet in his head in his 80s. So it's not the hypertension that killed him, right? So that's the problem we're getting. We're getting a lot of false positives when people go for health checkups, unfortunately. It's because the industry is looking to create a blanket treatment for the whole population, okay? The only way you can do that is through averages. So what's your normal may not be somebody else's normal. Make sense?
100%.
This is why we have a lot of people getting put on medications too soon, unnecessarily, overprescribing, and then that messes up with their natural chemistry, and then they get side effects, they need new medications, and that becomes like a whole conveyor belt of overprescribing, which is horrible. Know what's your normal, what's your average, what's your perfect like state. And then once and you'll realize that we're all unique and individual. And another thing with medications, unfortunately, and why knowing thyself is better than just giving up our hope in magic pills. Every single chemical you put into your body, every single chemical is subjected to the first past effect. Your body sees it as a foreign entity and it's like, I need to get rid of that. That's toxic. That's not part of me. And it puts it, every chemical, straight to the liver. So your liver is doing its job to try and detoxify. If you're taking lots of medications, lots of chemicals, your liver gets overloaded. And actually what a lot of patients die of is, it's called non-alcoholic cirrhosis of the liver. It's where the liver gets inflamed and you basically die of liver failure. That's one of the big causes of disease. So if you use natural stuff, nature, the body looks at it as actually beneficial. And it knows how to deal with it. And it doesn't go to the liver. It goes to where it should go. So nature is smarter. That's why herbalism was very, very popular back in the day. Chinese medicine, Ayurveda, you know, they don't use medications. In Ayurveda, the drugs are a last resort. They're like the final thing. We shouldn't just rule out medical system because it does save lives in emergencies, especially. But when it comes to chronic conditions as well, okay, like chronic high blood pressure, depression, you know, autoimmune, inflammatory conditions. The problem with it is that it's usually a spiritual issue. It's caused by spiritual disturbance. It means you're going off your energetic path, who you truly are. You're going in the wrong direction, and your soul is going. It's getting confused, right? It's like trying to escape the body, leave the body, right? And the other thing is that if you hold on to things like hate and grudges, and if you hold on to negative emotions, right? When you start looking at the world with hate, envy, fear, jealousy, your cells get confused and they go into survival mode, right? And epigenetics starts to play a very strong part here in your health. And if you go into survival mode and your cells fear life itself, what happens is it starts attacking anything. That's the beginning of autoimmune. It starts to even attack its own cells, right? It sees everything as a threat. That's the beginning of autoimmune. and other inflammatory issues. And it affects how you breathe. Your breathing rate goes very fast. When you breathe too fast, you hyperventilate, overbreathe, that's where the big problems, that's where my big focus is in correcting people's breath, stop them from overbreathing, optimizing their breathing, and using their breath to connect to spirit and to actually reprogram the cells' consciousness back to love, back to courage, back to acceptance, to peace. When you do that, magic happens.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
There was something you said that was really powerful, something like if your soul is going in the wrong direction, it just causes turmoil in the body. And, you know, and there was something, I think you had the perfect prescription, no pun intended, which was eat well, sleep well, shit well, piss well, well, it was something else you said. And you talked about the soul, and I just think that earlier you mentioned, you know, where we are in the world right now, and I believe that's it. I not necessarily been struggling myself, but from the outside in, I'm struggling with why people aren't understanding that if I'm yelling and you're yelling, no one's listening. It's just you can't hear when you're screaming. And so I just think it's really important for people to hear that message. And for me, one of the most powerful words is love. And, you know, when my husband Scott and I get into a disagreement, the first thing he says every single time is he says, first, I want to tell you I love you. And for the longest time, I used to be like, you don't need to tell me that. I'm like, I already know, because we're on the same page, right? But he feels like he needs to say it. And I was always like, well, that's a given. And we both are thinking that way, but he stated it. And so now it's just kind of, we have this little joke of like, okay, no, go ahead and say it, because it really balances us out. And we just get back to one much quicker, you know, and understanding that word. I 100% love that you said we can't just, you know, forget about medicine, because it can save your life. But at the end of the day, these stressors that we are having in our lives are causing us to, whether you have the high blood pressure, the low blood pressure, I mean, it just creates turmoil in your body. And so I just want to thank you for validating that for a lot of people, because for me, going to therapy and finding a new therapist recently has just been incredible and amazing. About a year ago, Sam, who does stuff for our company, who found you for us, he introduced me to box breathing. And I was always like, yes, I understand that taking a deep breath and with fitness and exercise and running track and all that stuff, I just knew how important it was to breathe. But I really only understood or equated good breathing techniques was going to enhance my lungs or my exercise or enhance my recovery time, right? Once he had me practicing box breathing specifically, at first I was like, okay, you know, this is cool. And then I got into this thing where I couldn't sleep at night, and I just said to myself, I'm going to try this box breathing thing. I'm just going to try this at night. And without a doubt, every single time, I would get what I would call two full box breaths in, I was passed out. I would every time when I began to breathe that way, I was like, this isn't going to work. You know, like, I'm like, this is impossible. It was the most incredible thing, because it just relaxed me so much that within two of those cycles, I was asleep. And I would love for you to dive a little bit deeper into that, because I believe that when you talk about the breath, it is such a healing thing, and it can help so many people out there, especially people who don't know what it's like to just relax their mind and get the right amount of rest.
Yes. Great, great feedback. Well, I'm going to like attempt to give you a scientific understanding of why box breathing works, and also talk about sleep, right? Because it's very misunderstood, sleepers. So I'm going to explain to you what I know, and obviously do your own research, but I've actually changed my complete opinion about sleep, right? And how much sleep we really need. So let me explain. Firstly, like with the box breathing, what was the pattern you were doing?
Inhale five, hold five counts, and then exhale for seven. So I would inhale, hold.
So extending the exhale.
Extended right. The exhale, yeah.
So you're doing basically five in, hold five, so
exhale,
that would be
seven.
10 seconds, and then seven, so 17 seconds.
And then five, hold.
And then 17, so 22 seconds for each breath, right?
Correct.
So actually what you're doing is you've slowed your breathing rate down to around three breaths per minute. Okay, so let me give you a background to breathing science, okay? Which is what's the foundation of what we teach. Basically, pranayama was invented by studying animals in nature thousands and thousands of years ago, okay? That's how it was developed. And they found that animals that live a very long time, like elephants and turtles, they actually have very slow breathing rates of like 2 to 4 breaths a minute, okay? Like whales have even slower breathing rates, okay? And they live like over 100 years. Now, rats and mice have very fast breathing rates. And mammals like them, they have very fast breathing rates, around 40 to 100, 150 breaths per minute, okay? And they live like 1 year, 1 or 2 years, okay? Now, there's some anomalies to this rule. The naked mole rat. The naked mole rat actually can live up to 30 years free of disease, okay? Even like they don't get cancer, rarely get cancer. It's so hard for them to get sick, okay? And guess what's different between them and normal rats? They can hold their breath for like 18 minutes at a time, and they live predominantly in underground in a hypoxic environment, right? Wow. Low oxygen environment. So then humans, we have the conscious ability to control our breath. We can be like rats. We can be like naked mole rats. We can also be like whales. The bowhead whale lives over 200 years, and it can hold its breath for 2 hours. Okay? So there is a correlation between how long you can hold your breath and your breathing rate and longevity. Right? It's pretty apparent in the animal world. Okay? And scientists like us, we usually do experiments on animals, because there's a good chance if it works animals, especially rats, that's where we do a lot of our pharmaceutical experimenting on, is going to work with us, okay? When we go into human trials. That's why we do it with rats. So I'm very certain in this wisdom that comes from pranayama. I'll tell you why. In more modern times, there was a guy, amazing doctor called Dr. Buteyko, who was in Soviet Russia, having incredible success with reducing his patients' breathing rates, right? And noticing that when he forced them to breathe fast, the symptoms of their disease would get a lot worse. When he slowed the breathing rate down, the symptoms would diminish. So he saw this. He also used reduced breathing techniques to cure his own hypertension. And this was a scientist, a doctor, who was responsible for the Soviet space missions. He was the one who studied the right oxygen carbon dioxide ratios for space travel. So this was a very smart guy. He's not some ordinary dude, right? And here's the thing. Guess where he learned all this from? He got it from yoga. He got it from studying pranayama, okay? Wow. So in more modern times, okay, I have been taught reduced breathing techniques from pranayama and gone very deep into it and realized that pranayama is a complete system of making you super efficient using oxygen. So you need less oxygen to make the same amount of energy and to also lower the amount of oxygen you take in and to raise your carbon dioxide. Now, there's a reason why you need to do this, okay? Super important. Okay. Basically, there's a guy coined the term oxidative stress called Helmut Sees. He's a top scientist. And he's the one who studied like redox chemistry a lot, which is this problem of oxidation from oxygen. He says, although it's very difficult to live without oxygen, like you don't last very long, it's also very difficult to live with oxygen because of oxidative stress. He says that, he shows that scientifically. So the problem with our health is actually oxygen, not carbon dioxide. We've been told carbon dioxide is toxic waste gas that we must get rid of. And so we must deep breathe all the time. Deep breathing does not equal health. That's a huge misconception. There is an oxygen paradox, right? We are told oxygen is this miracle healing stuff. Yet, if a doctor makes the wrong measurement with giving oxygen to a patient, he'll kill that patient because of oxidative stress. It's a known thing. In fact, with COVID, when you're supplementing patients with oxygen, you have to be super careful because you could kill that patient very easily with too much oxygen. Okay? So that's a big problem. And also, we've been told that deep, heavy breathing leads to health. Actually, it's all about slowing your breathing, okay? And there's another incredible gas that we need to talk about, nitric oxide. It's produced in the nasal cavity and by nasal breathing, all right? And when you hum, when you do humming, you produce 7 times more nitric oxide. It's a bronchodilator, a vasodilator, and it helps get oxygen to where it needs to go into your tissue cells, okay? And carbon dioxide is also responsible for getting oxygen from your red blood cells into the tissue cells. It's called the Bohr effect. Okay. Mm. It's a very important mechanism that gives your body an intelligent way to deliver oxygen to where it needs to go. Okay. So we need carbon dioxide. We need nitric oxide. Now, why do we lack it? And Dr. Buteyko said we chronically hyperventilate as a population. When we are stressed out, and modern world is very stressful compared to when we were, you know, living in like a kind of a nomadic environment without any stimulation.
Yeah.
The emotional stress creates a demand for oxygen that is more than we actually need because we're not burning it. We're just thinking. And our worrying mind makes us produce adrenaline and we go into fight or flight mode. We end up using more oxygen than we actually need, breathing more oxygen than we need. We hyperventilate. And one other problem happens is we start to breathe through our mouth. And a lot of people just naturally breathe through their mouth, okay? Now, we were designed not to breathe through our mouth, but to breathe through our nose. We should breathe through our nose. What does nasal breathing do? It slows the air right down. It also prepares the air for absorption into the lungs. And it also produces nitric oxide. So the nose is how we should breathe, okay? And Buteyko found that just by changing from patients from training them to breathe through their nose rather than their mouth, he would see amazing results. Okay. So pranayama is also the same. It's all about nasal breathing. You should rarely use your mouth, only in certain intense yogic techniques. And so there's a strong correlation with all of this slowing your breathing rate down. And overall, if you do the right pranayama techniques, this is what I've developed with Soma Breath, you can actually lower someone's demand for oxygen, slow their breathing rate down to like 2 to 4 breaths a minute. You know, if you do like 4 to 8 breaths a minute, you're doing really well. And there's a measurement to see how healthy somebody really is, which is very quick and easy. And we're going to do it right now. You up for it?
Okay. I am so up for this.
All right. So this will determine your body tissue oxygen level because when you breathe in oxygen, it goes into your lungs, goes into your red blood cells, binds to the red blood cells, but it has to go from your red blood cells into the tissue cells. That's where the energy is produced in the mitochondria, okay?
Okay.
And we have a little fire going on in the mitochondria. Oxygen burns, glucose, it combusts to create like, it's like a fire, the same equation of fire. So too much oxygen produces too much energy, too much fire. So we have this inner fire going on. ATP is the currency of energy in our body. It drives life. If we don't have enough oxygen, it doesn't burn at all. So we need the right balance, okay? But fire is oxidative. It can burn, it can corrode, it can combust, it can cause damage. So, and the same thing happens in your red blood cells. If you have oxygen stuck to your red blood cells for too long, you can actually cause oxidation and inflammation and arterial plaques form and thrombosis. You get heart disease. Actually, heart disease is the biggest killer in the world. What we need to do is get the oxygen from your red blood cells into the tissue cells, okay? But that requires carbon dioxide. It requires nitric oxide. If you don't have enough carbon dioxide, and we have a carbon dioxide tolerance. If we, see, unfortunately, we are all kind of been engineered out of carbon dioxide tolerance through life, through modern living. And carbon dioxide is what triggers your brain to need to breathe again. It's also what creates calm in your brain. So if you have a very active mind, it's hard to go to sleep. If you have the right amount of carbon dioxide, it switches off the erratic thoughts, the electrical impulses, and your brain calms down. That's why box breathing, like what you did, you're raising carbon dioxide because you're slowing the breathing right down. The cells has more of a chance to breathe and you build up more carbon dioxide, but you're slowing the amount of oxygen you breathe in and you're slowing the amount of carbon dioxide you breathe out. Because every time you breathe in oxygen. Every time you breathe out carbon dioxide. If you're heavy breathing, you're breathing out massive volumes of carbon dioxide and you're messing up this ratio of carbon dioxide, oxygen, and that can make you feel lightheaded. So box breathing helps you because of this thing, because you're raising carbon dioxide. And also that soothes and calms the nervous system. You can go to sleep without medication, okay?
You know, so, yeah. I know you're going to do more, but I just wanted to say one more thing that, you know, from when since I started box breathing, even when I'm on the tennis court in like a very intense point that is going on and on, when I stop, you know, I used to be like, you know, now when I stop, I find myself only here. I only breathe in it from there because then my recovery happens much faster. I'm just saying, like, I don't know if this is right or not, but this is just naturally what my body does. And I realize that my recovery time is insanely different. It just feels different more than anything.
Yeah, you got it, man. You're getting the carbon dioxide is essential with the nitric oxide to recover, to get the oxygen to tissue cells and to recharge your cells. So you're doing exactly the right thing. Absolutely. You've retrained yourself, which is phenomenal. Lots of people don't do that and they struggle and they can't recover. Okay, so the acid test for your health is this. It's called the breath hold time. And the way you measure your breath hold time is you're going to be at rest. The best thing is to do this in the morning. We're going to talk about sleep in a moment. But you're going to be at rest and you're going to be breathing through your nose, okay? And you're just going to come to just a short inhale, very slight inhale, and slow exhale for like a few seconds, 30 seconds, okay? I'm going to time how long you can hold your breath at rest, okay? So you're going to, in a moment, take a normal inhale through your nose, exhale through your nose, but you don't force your exhale, it's just relaxed. So you're gonna allow your muscles in your abdomen to completely relax on every exhale you take. So you're gonna just breathe in like this. Pinch your nose at the end of your exhale and remember to be relaxed and hold your breath until you get the first big urge to breathe. When you get that big urge to breathe, right, your next inhale should just be a slight inhale. You know you've gone too long with your breath hold when you're gasping for air, when you're like, oh,
right.
But you have to use your mouth, okay? That shouldn't be like that. It should just be a relaxed inhale for at least two more inhales afterwards, okay?
Okay.
You ready?
I'm ready.
So 3, 2, 1, inhale, exhale, and then pinch your nose. Okay. Oh. 22 seconds. So that's quite average. Could you have gone longer?
Yeah, I could have gone longer, but I didn't know. I was like, I didn't want to feel like I had to take too much. I wasn't gasping. I just didn't know if I should, like, I didn't want to be like, you know.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I think you probably could have, I think you might have done it a little bit soon. You are in the average range. Okay.
I mean, I could do it again without, like, I didn't want to.
Well, you're on the spot like, at the moment. We're also on the spotlight. You know, You've just been talking. Talking actually releases a lot of carbon dioxide. So, you know, this isn't an ideal situation. You should do this actually in the morning. And you're average at the moment. But I'm sure if you were to do this properly, you're probably 30 or 40 seconds at least. You're around average, like you're at 25 seconds, so that's cool. Now,
ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row, dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Oh, let's talk about sleep. So actually, the morning is the time we should do most of our reduced breathing exercises. Here's why. If we are very optimized, if your breath hold time is over 40 to 60 seconds, you'll find that you only need 2 to 4 hours a night sleep. Super healthy yogis, superhuman yogis only sleep 2 hours a night. They've hacked sleep, right? It's magic. They may have a power nap during the day, like maybe 1 5 to 10 minute power nap. But I've noticed the more I've been doing this, my sleep has reduced. I only need 5 6 hours sleep. And here's the thing, when you wake up, you should wake up not feeling tired. You should feel refreshed. You should be energized. You should also be able to not remember your dreams. You know you've had a good night's sleep when you don't remember your dreams, okay? It's when you haven't slept like properly deep enough, you start to remember like the dreams from the dream state that you go into. So light sleepers tend to have very vivid dreams. Heavy, deep sleepers, they don't really remember their dreams so much. So, but you can hack that, obviously. You can go into lucid dream states, understanding that you can go into a semi-waking state, right? And go into lucid dreaming world. But that's a whole different conversation. But when you were taking the medication and you were doing it because you were waking up too early, right? You thought how many hours sleep were you getting?
At the time, maybe like 4.5. It was like 4.5. And then I'd be like, oh, you know, like
did you wake up feeling, you were waking up feeling horrible?
sick. Like, I would feel like sick when I would wake up. And I was just like, this is like the worst. I will say that now, though, if, you know, so my husband and I, we have this kind of like teamwork rule, where if we fall asleep anywhere from like 10, 30, 11, and anything before 4 o'clock, he will like tend to the boys. And I'm always like, once 4 o'clock hits, I'm completely fine. Like from 11 to 4, I literally can wake up and jump out of bed and do a workout and I don't feel crazy at all. And I wake up and I'm glad we're having this conversation, because now I feel like when I wake up now, I'm just like, I need to go back to sleep. You know, I'm just like, and I kind of stress that I'm awake, but I'm actually like, you want to hang out? Like, you know?
Exactly. So dude, you've hit the nail on the head. You only need 4 hours. You only need probably 5 hours sleep a night. Okay. Cause you are optimized with your health. You're probably much healthier than you think, you know, with your sleep. And you should wake up feeling energized and active. Now, here's the thing. Did you know most heart attacks happen in the early hours of the day? So 4 to 7 in the morning is when heart attacks happen. When people die in their sleep from heart attacks. All right. It's called a morning. And the result is because of morning hyperventilation. And almost everyone, only 10% of people don't have morning hyperventilation. But during that, breathing becomes heavier. That's why they say to do the reduced breathing exercises when you wake up. Okay. And this will mean, especially if you just focus on nasal breathing, you'll quickly correct that morning hyperventilation and become very energized. You'll be able to go and work out. You have to do anything, you know, and you won't feel tired the whole day. And when you oversleep, let's say somebody wakes up at 4 in the morning, 5 in the morning, and then they get this morning hyperventilation, and then they go to sleep in that state, it's very harmful to their health. And often, I don't know if you found this, you actually wake up, go back to sleep, and then when you wake up again, you feel lousy, even worse. And it takes you ages to get back to normal.
Yeah. So, and that, this is so crazy because I wake up at 4.
Yeah.
Like I told you before, I'm in it. And then I'm just kind of like, well, I don't need to be awake. And then I go back to sleep. And then my kids get up around 7. And I'm back in this state of like how I felt when I was going to bed at night. You know, when you're trying to in that state of like, I'm sleepy. But if there are times when I wake up at 4, And I say to Scott, because you know, it's your spouse and you don't want to be like, I'm getting out of bed. And he's like, what's wrong with you? It's 4 o'clock in the morning. You know, sometimes I'll be like, I'm going to go downstairs. And when I go downstairs, or if I like, you know, I kind of like to spend my time at a certain time of day, at that time in the morning for myself, I am wide awake. And I was just with my tennis coach before we did this podcast. And we were talking, he was like, you remember last year we would get up at, he's like, we would start playing tennis at 5:30. I would get up at 4:30 in the morning. I was on a tennis court at 5:30 and I was not tired. Like I didn't get tired. I mean, you know, I sometimes have an afternoon kind of like nap that I take, but it's like 10 minutes. But, anyway, it's just so interesting. We're talking about this because it's tomorrow morning. If I wake up at 4 o'clock and I'm gonna tell Scott, I'm like, I'm going to get up. Like I need to get up and I'll be back when I hear them rummaging around.
Amazing. So I would love to create a breathing kind of plan for you. And
oh, please.
So we've just launched Soma Breath Fit. It's my breathwork course for fitness, for health. All right. So there's different types of breathing, and breathwork is a misunderstood thing. Like actually breathwork is associated with like holotropic and rebirthing and is heavy, fast breathing techniques, which actually cause damage. And people make, if it's done as a chronic thing, if you're doing it as your healthy breathing patterns, which people get confused, they think when you're doing holotropic or rebirthing, hyperventilation should be your normal day-to-day breathing pattern. It's wrong. And actually some of those instructors make huge mistakes promoting that as a healthy breathing pattern. It's completely wrong because it encourages mouth breathing and hyperventilation. It's meant for getting into out of your head. If you hyperventilate, you literally invoke a near-death experience. That's why you get these psychedelic DMT-like effects. When you die, you produce massive amounts of DMT. That's what takes you into the afterlife, you know, the weird, crazy transition that goes. DMT is a part of that. So holotropic and rebirthing are meant for psychedelic experiences, not for healthy breathing. Pranayama is the science, the breathwork school for healthy breathing. But in pranayama is like a library of different techniques, and the higher yogic rituals, which are these like that use heavy breathing and fast breathing patterns, like breath of fire, you may have heard of, stuff like that. They are for people who have already done the work to prepare themselves to be able to handle those sorts of, which means improving your breath hold time to 40 seconds, all right, at least. This is what we're going to do with you. I'd love to work with you to help you get to those peak performance states, because I think you're already there, and with the correct morning routine, you're going to be like a super yogi, I reckon.
Let's freak. I'm so excited for many reasons, but just because a lot of what you're talking about, it's what I feel like my body naturally wants yes. to do. And even with my fitness, and when I'm able to like slow down my breathing, and then the time that I wake up in the morning, and it's I really want to try to embrace that a little more, especially because right now I'm about to go into a big production for my next program. And a lot of times when I'm in that state of production, it's like I would find it hard to go to sleep, or if I have to get up early and I'm thinking about all this stuff. And I really feel like this is kind of that final piece of the puzzle where I can say I can really relax through this experience and utilize my energy in the right way. So yes, tell me what to do, how to do it, how to approach it, and I'm here for it.
That'd be amazing. No, I'd love to do it. So I can give you our course to test out, and we can do a couple of one-on-ones, because it will take a bit more time than maybe we've got on this podcast, but we can go really deep. But the first thing is to listen to your body. As you said, like, we've put too much of our trust and faith into the outside world and forgotten to listen to our own instincts. You know, we're instinctive, intuitive, super intelligent people. Humans are incredible. But only if we listen to ourselves, right? Because remember, there's no one size fits all. So when they say, oh, you must have 8 hours sleep, that's for people who are unhealthy, who have bad breathing patterns, and are probably on a junk food diet, which is the majority of the mass population. We don't want to be there. If you want to move out of that and improve your life, you've got to start thinking like and acting like real humans, and look at studying the superhuman yogis and study success. You know, look at the peak performers in the world and look what they're doing, and you'll find that you can then learn from them and use the stuff that actually resonates with you, your own feeling. So, you know, some people may need more sleep than others. We're all different. So in the Ayurvedic system, you have different energy types. This is something else that is on our breathwork course, is how to determine your energy type according to the Ayurvedic system. And a heavy person, like a heavy set person, is a kapha energy type. They actually sleep deeper and longer naturally. A vata type like me, who's very skinny and slim, easily loses weight, is an air energy. We are more fast with our metabolism. We tend to have less sleep, need for less sleep. And the pitta types are somewhere in the middle. I think you're like a pitta. Vata maybe, but you're more pitta, I think. But there's a very simple questionnaire that you do, quiz that determines what you are. And it'll be really good to find out what you are. But I think the Vata pitta types don't need as much sleep as the kapha types. That's why we're not the same as everyone else. You know, we should not be put in a box, you know, and we're all unique, we're individual. And the real advancements with healthcare will come when it comes to customization. when we start learning how to customize, not according to genetics. Genetics doesn't mean anything, actually. Genetics is just a framework, right? Epigenetics is way more important. The environment you're around, you know, who you surround yourself with, the school you went to, you know, the food you put into your system and your gut microbiome and all these factors. So, like, I'm not into all this genetic advancements in healthcare either. I think we already have the best biofeedback device. It's our own intuition, our feeling, how we feel. Mm. It's the best. So we just need to learn how to tap into that. You know, that's one thing Wim Hof really talks about, and I love him for, is we need to get back into our bodies, man. We need to get back into our feeling and feel.
I love it.
You know, the power, you know, and trust ourselves.
Okay, so I'm going to say this, and I'm going to ask this. Okay, I'm going to do this course, and I really would love to right now commit not just to the course, but I do the course, and when I finish filming this program, I'm done in March. How long is the course? How long is your course?
You're going to get results in 7 days, but if you do it for a month, you're going to have a huge transformation.
Okay, I am going to, in about a month from now, maybe 5 weeks or so, I'm going to be heading into the shooting phase. So next week, I'm going to start my kind of prep phase, rehearsal. It's kind of like my preseason, if you will. And then a month from now or so, I'm going to head into the shooting phase where it's the more intense. And I would love, even if it's for, you know, 15 minutes, where for us, I think it may be 30. If we could just kind of do a follow-up with this, because I just think it would be so incredible for me to do it, for what I like to call my fit fam to witness me going through this transformation. And the reason why is I've dedicated from in July, and people have heard me talk about this a lot. I had a boat jet ski accident. A boat hit me while I was on a jet ski. And it just really rocked like every cell in my body and emotionally. And I've been on this recovery journey. And I really believe that this is just going to be such an incredible enhancement to what it is that I'm already trying to do. And I mean, I'm just so excited. I want to put the site to your course in our show notes, because hopefully some of you out there will do this with me.
Yes.
I just think it'll be so important for all of us. And in a month from now, I think that we should definitely get back on and we check in and we just talk about it, because I just feel like I'm on the right path of the understanding of it. And I just know that committing to something like this is going to truly enhance my life. And then I got to tell you something else that's just like so deep and so personal. So a few weeks ago, I was just in this like really, really stressful state, and I was just like really going through it. And it was just like a bunch of different things. And I actually reached out to this men's group here in Phoenix, Arizona to, you know, just start some new counseling and new therapy and really trying to, you know, work through that. And because I'm traveling, they don't do virtual stuff. So I was just like, you know, I'm going to try this BetterHelp. I've heard of BetterHelp therapy, you know, betterhelp.com or whatever. And so, but I believe that what I'm going to embark on with you again is going to really enhance that, because I am a person that really likes to connect to my emotions. I've been told so long in my life, like, you know, don't get too emotional, or, you know, and it really, from a young age, it kind of made me fight against what I really feel. And now I really fight for what I feel. And I just believe that this could really help kind of balance me out, especially with, you know, just what I'm going through in my life at the moment. So I would love to do this and meet back up in a month to just talk about the progress.
Yeah, this is a great way to balance emotions, really learn about what your true feelings are, and to take the right action and make the right decision. Ultimately, we want the results, right? That we want, right? And what comes before results? Actions. But this is the outer world, and most coaches work on this part, is the outer world, and they give you strategies and new actions to take. But a lot of people do that, but they still just keep getting the same results or just slight improvements. Now, what comes before an action? It's decisions. And those decisions are in your inner world, in your thoughts. And before the decisions are a thought, where do thoughts come from? They come from feelings, emotions, and that comes from your physiology, your endocrine system and nervous system. So where we work and where the breath works is on that physiological level. So by just fixing all of that stuff, you solve all of this cascade of events that happens before the result comes in. And that's why I believe your results in all of your areas of your life are going to go boom, because you're working on the core of where it all comes from, the breath, which is your energy, because pranayama means energy control, right? And if you look at the Vedic system, it's quantum science. E equals MM, according to quantum science. Energy equals matter. A duality, Advaita philosophy, it's the same thing, right? And that means energy and matter exist, coexist at the same time. So if you manipulate the energy within, okay, energy is, emotion is energy, emotion, then you are basically in charge now of the inner world, right? You can take control consciously. There's actually a Psychology Today article all on this. Free will is actually lies in the realms of your breath. Otherwise, we're unconscious and we're on autopilot. But with the breath, we can take control of free will. It's an amazing study they did that in Psychology Today about free will and breathing. And the exhale is the trick, is the hook. And you can actually tap into your own. I usually do a trick where I show you how I can raise my heart rate 30 beats per minute and down by 30. I have this device. But it shows you just with your breath, you can tap in to the inner world, the autonomic nervous system. And through that, if you can influence the inner world, you can actually create an alignment with the outer world. That's yoga. Yoga means the union. It's the union of the inner world with the outer world. That way you can create peace, equanimity, acceptance, and be in your flow wherever you go. That's basically what yoga really was about.
I do like to ask my guests, you know, what is your definition of trust and belief, and how can people instill that in their lives?
One of the easiest ways to create trust, in my opinion, is to model success, right? Part of the equation is you've got to have trust within, but you've got to also have a strategy for getting what you want. Let's break it down. You want to achieve something in your life. Say you want to make $1 million. So what you want to do is you want to look at all the people who are making $1 million right now, right? Who are millionaires. And you want to just basically model what they do. So you look at their strategy. If you go to a financial planner for advice on this, who has never made $1 million themselves, but they're trying to give you advice on how to make $1 million, then you're going down the wrong path. How can you trust that path? Same thing goes with your health. If you are taking advice from somebody who can't even look after their own health, right? And they're looking fat and overweight and chain smoking, depressed. How can you trust that person for the right advice? You'd want to find people who are healthy, happy, strong, living their best life for health advice, because you want to be like them. That's health. So look, if you've got a disease, look at people who've healed from that disease. Copy them. Who is their doctor? Who is their coach, their mentor? What's their lifestyle? And that's it. That's how you create trust. There's already amazing success out there in the world. You just have to look, open your eyes, look at the right places. Don't believe the mainstream media, unfortunately, as being gospel truth, because it's designed to create money for a few people. That's what it does. So a lot of the articles are there to hypnotize you into taking action, but through fear emotionally, which takes you off your right path. And ignore that stuff and just start learning from real people on the street, everyday people, because that's where the real magic and real success lies in life and being happy.
Yeah, I really like that, because there are so many people that I know that, I mean, there are even people who are in the middle of their journey and they've developed this incredible momentum for themselves, and you know, I may be Sean T, but I see them. And yeah, they may have only lost like 17 pounds and they want to lose 50, but I see it and I'm inspired because they are in it, you know. And it's just really, it's really great to see. And I'm just letting people know out there, like, if you're on that path and there's somebody you know that is feeling successful and getting healthier, they're a great accountability partner. So thank you so much, Niraj. I'm gonna get that course started. I'm 100% looking forward to it. Can you tell everyone where to get the course, even though we're gonna put it in our show notes?
Yeah, so our website is somabreath.com. We have various options on there. We have this new course now, Soma Breath Fit, which is for health and focus on that. We have another course, which is a 21-day course, the Soma Awakening Protocol, and that's focused on intermittent hypoxic training protocol, which is something we didn't discuss yet, but it's using your breath to create strength and resilience to stress. And that's a deeper course. I recommend doing Breath Fit first to correct your breathing, which is just 7 days, and then you have these lifelong habits which you should keep for the rest of your life. Then you do our 21 days, and that takes you to a whole new level in your life in many different areas, because it's also about your spiritual health as well, and it's about awakening your consciousness, you know, your super consciousness. And then and that has more intense breathing techniques as well. That's why I like people to get prepared first for that. And then we have instructor training. So we have instructor training, which can actually, firstly, a lot of people just want to be able to go deeper in their awareness and knowledge of breath. So we have very, very popular instructor training courses that goes very deep into all these areas that I've talked about. But then you can facilitate and you can help people. You can give back the things that have worked for you, you know, as a qualified, certified instructor. So that's the different options. SomaBreath.com, you can look it up, or you can just even Google Soma Breath, Breath Fit, and you'll find it, and take it from there. And we also have a YouTube channel, lots of free stuff on there.
And I'm doing the 7-day course. I'm starting with the 7-day.
We're going to do the 7-day because I want to get you to correct that. And then once that's done, we will move. I'll put you on to the 21 days.
I will start the course tomorrow. And nice. I will promise myself and you that if I wake up at 4 a.m., which I know I will, feeling good, I'm going to get out of bed and get my day started.
Yes. You're going to get up and you're going to do the morning routine that we set out. And then you're going to go and crush it on the tennis court.
Niraj, thank you so much. We really appreciate it. And we'll be back in about a month for our follow-up.
Beautiful, brother. Love it.
Awesome.